Welcome to Study, Grow, Know, where we discuss theology, prophecy, and current political issues from a conservative biblical perspective. Here's your host, Dr. Fred DeRuvo.
And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Isaiah 11:1-2. You know, Isaiah the prophet, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, looks into the future to describe the person and Messiah, Jesus. Now, among other things, Jesus would possess the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Knowledge stemming from fear of the Lord. I think that's interesting. And I firmly believe that this is the key to living the Christian life successfully. For years, this main foundational truth of Christianity has escaped me. In short, I have failed to fear God enough or consistently. Now, Jesus lived to fear the Lord. That seems kind of strange, doesn't it? Because Jesus was and remains God. And yet he lived as a human being, still God, but with a human body, to fear the Lord. Verse 3 of Isaiah 11 tells us this very truth. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. Now, much of Isaiah 11 is ultimately referring to the time when Jesus returns to this earth and establishes his millennial kingdom. However, when Jesus lived his earthly life several thousand years ago, he did this exact same thing then. He judged not by what he saw outwardly, but by what he saw inwardly in people. This was the result of his delight in the fear of the Lord. This fear blessed him with a resultant righteousness and godly knowledge. Do you want that? Do I want that? Authentic Christians are granted righteousness, imputed to us, Romans 3:21-22, correct? We get righteousness based on the faith that we have in Christ's redemptive work for us. How many of us actually experience a life that is righteous? Myself included. Not many, right? Why is that? It is because we do not fear the Lord. I believe fear promotes right living. If we do not fear the Lord, why would we think we could even begin to live truly righteous lives? Fear of God is the motivator, though often non-existent, while many of us have spent years trying to live the Christian life by putting it on from the outside, right? We go through the motions. We use our own effort to do the things we believe we should be doing. In truth, here's the difficulty. God sees the problem and the condition of our hearts. What do our hearts tell God? You know what they tell him? That we do not fear him. We do not fear him. Do we truly love God? Do we love others as he commands us to do? Do we want to serve others from the heart? Do we want to avoid sin? Do we want to live a life that truly pleases and glorifies God? Well, if so, then we must fear him. I'm 64, and I now finally am beginning to understand that all of this can only be truly accomplished if the foundation of my Christian life is based on a true, reverential, profound fear and, yes, even dread of the Lord God. Dread? Yes, dread. Now, think about something. If God were to appear in your home or mine physically in his glory, what do you think our reaction would be? Do you think You think we'd go up to Jesus, pat him on the back, smile brightly? I don't think so. I honestly believe that we would fall on our faces before him as though we were dead people. Was this not the reaction of many in his word, from Daniel to Job to the Apostle John and many in between? There is something so consciously overpowering about God. His omniscience and omnipotence and his omnipresence, that saints knew that in his presence they were nothing. And don't think that this only applies to the Old Testament. We see it throughout the entirety of the Bible. Consider the main attitude of many to most within Christendom today. We see people largely focused on God's what? His love. That's all they talk about. They admonish and encourage us to seek God because he wants us to what? He wants us to be happy, right? They tell us God is there to help us achieve our impossible dreams. Now, I've run across too many who claim to be Christian, and I have been there myself, who believe God will, quote, make dreams come true. Now, their dreams, if you ask them, range from finding that right person to owning a large home, having a family, finding the right job, or starting the business that's going to become huge. Others believe God wants them to succeed in business, Hollywood, or the music industry. To these people, God is a celestial genie who apparently longs to make our every wish come true. And by the way, it's not simply three wishes we get. The wishes are ongoing and never ending. Whatever we can conceive, whatever we can think to do or ask, above that, God will make it happen. Of course, that's taken out of context, but that doesn't matter. This whole line of thought is anti-God. It, in fact, is hatred of and for God, because it is not based in the truth of his word or his actual revealed character. It is a completely wrong view of God that is literally born of Satan. A true, palpable fear of God takes us out of ourselves. It moves us to focus on God and pleasing him from the start. We become his servants. The fact that we do not genuinely fear God, and it doesn't matter what age you are, you could be a child of 5, 6, 10, 12, 15, 20, an adult of 30 or 40, a senior saint of 60, 70, 80, it doesn't really make any difference. The fact that we do not genuinely fear God as outlined in his holy word is the reason so many of us live lives that are not only anti-biblical, but filled with failure and sinfulness. Please understand, by the way, that I am absolutely including myself in this, as I did at the beginning. I'm not pointing my finger at you. I'm coming alongside you and admitting that I have not lived a life with the required fear of God. And I'm asking you to ponder the same question. I honestly don't believe that we can fear God enough. And we're not talking about God's wrath. I've said that before. We will never, as Christians, experience God's wrath. But we should have the same delight in fearing God that Isaiah said the coming Messiah would have, which is found in Jesus. Fear of God is truly, truly where it all starts. Without that fear, nothing within us will change. The key that prompts us to live holy lives from our hearts is a right fear of God. It is the exact same trait that prompted Jesus to live a holy life before God the Father. It is why the Father could say about Jesus at his baptism by John that he was well pleased with God the Son. Jesus delighted in fearing God. Though God the Father would undoubtedly say that I am righteous, Fred, you're righteous because of Christ's righteousness imputed to me, not because of anything I've done. But I have to wonder if he would indeed be happy with the way I've been living my life. The answer? Well, no, no, no. It's a resounding no, because of the lack of fear in my heart that I'm supposed to have for God. That must change. Fear overcomes the temptation to sin. Now, as we consider the many places in Scripture where people either avoided sin or gave into it, it all comes back to the very same issue. Either those people feared God or they did not fear Him. It is as simple as that. It is the same with you and me, by the way. Jesus feared God the Father perfectly, 24/7, 365 days a year. He feared God perfectly 100% of the time, which is why he never, ever sinned. He never fell short. What caused Joseph in the Old Testament to literally run from Potiphar's wife who tempted him to lie with her in Genesis 39? Fear of God. That is what caused Joseph to flee from her presence, even leaving behind part of his garment, which she later used against Joseph to prove her case, quote unquote. Joseph had such a healthy fear of God that he actually delighted in doing what was right in spite of hardships that resulted from it. This is what makes Joseph a type of Christ. Because of that fear that Joseph possessed, God was able to use him mightily. What prompted Job to respond to the death of his children with, "The Lord gives and the Lord takes away, blessed be the name of the Lord," Job 1:21? It was the fear of God. And God points that out to Satan in verse 8. We learn over the course of the entire book, Job learned exactly how important it was to fear God. Now, we can rightly conclude that Job feared God more by the end of that book bearing his name than he had at the beginning, though he obviously feared God in the beginning. One of the points of Job's book is that we cannot fear God enough. God has every right to do what he does in our lives. He has every right. We have no right to complain about it. God is righteous. We need to fear him. When David sinned with Bathsheba and then deliberately had her husband Uriah killed in battle, we ask why, 2 Samuel 11. The answer is simple. It is because David lacked the fear of the Lord then. Had he feared God, as he had done so often, he would have done what was right in that situation also. But David set aside the fear of the Lord, and disaster was the result, not just for him and his family, but for the nation of Israel. Why do people of the world sin as they do, and often with abandon? Because they have no fear of the Lord. Romans 3:18. This is why we have corrupt politicians. It is why criminals do what they do. It is why people commit adultery, steal, lie, cheat, and even do something as small time as littering, because they have no fear of God. None. No fear at all. None. That's why they do what they do. Too many of us Christians are like them, because no fear of God, or little, exists in our hearts. I firmly believe that if we learn to fear the God, the only God, if we learn to fear Him, we would sin less, and it would be more natural that we could avoid sin. We would endeavor to live lives that pleased Him. Fear allows us to know God. Now, fear of God is seen in how a person lives, and it is best noted in our interpersonal relationships. If we truly fear God, we will see others as better than ourselves. This is true humility, and it comes from having a growing, palpable fear of God. The fear of God is the key that creates within us humility, which works itself out in the desire to serve God and others. It allows us to fulfill the command, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, Matthew 7:12. From our hearts, by the way, as opposed to merely gritting our teeth and doing something, well, because we're supposed to, but we really don't want to. Fear provides the desire and the power. Fear of God is the true key that separates us from ourselves, and it is a process. Without fear of God, we focus on our wants, our felt needs. Learning to delight in the fear of God should be the main portion for every Christian, yet it is not. When was the last time you heard a sermon about our need to fear the Lord God? Fearing God is what separates the Christian from a defeated life. Consider any sin that you can think of. Now ask yourself, after you think of that sin, ask yourself, how do you avoid it naturally, from within, with the strength that only comes from God Himself? All sin can be avoided as our fear of God grows. No, we're never going to be sinlessly perfect in this life, but we can aim for it. Fear of God is the one true missing component. You know, we hear much today about knowing God, how to know Him, why we should know Him, the benefits of knowing Him, etc. And I would agree with all of it. We absolutely can and should know God. But we often hear about that concept without the much-needed fear of God. We cannot truly know God unless we learn to live with a very palpable, healthy fear of Him. Without that, it is impossible to know God. I'm talking as if I've got years of experience here, but believe me, I don't. I'm simply coming finally to terms with this truth. And I'm praying every day that God will give me a potent, growing fear of Him. Solomon said, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." It's not the end of knowledge. It is where all true knowledge starts. But fools despise wisdom and instruction, Proverbs 1:7. Even though what Solomon initially asked for from God was considered good by God, remember he asked for the ability, he wanted wisdom and knowledge so that he can be a good judge of God's people, Israel. But what if Solomon had asked for a thorough and life-changing fear instead of knowledge and wisdom? What if he had asked for, God, please give me a wholesome, healthy, potent, growing fear of You? What if he had asked for that? What is interesting is that Solomon ultimately gets there, doesn't he? In Ecclesiastes 12:13, he says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." Folks, I'm preaching to myself. This is my duty to God, to fear Him and keep His commandments. Notice, please, that Solomon first says, fear God. That's the first thing. From this fear flows the ability to keep His commandments, because fear creates the inner desire to keep those commandments. Fear is the entire basis of living righteously from the heart. For every believer, without it, we cannot know God, we cannot please God, and we cannot grow in Him. Too many Christians today You know, it's funny. We fear so many things. Oh, I might lose my job. Oh, I might lose my spouse. Oh, woe is me. I might lose my house. What if my dog dies? What if I get CV-19, coronavirus? What if I die? But the one thing we should fear, that we do not fear, is that we must learn to fear God and grow in that fear daily, or we will never learn what it means to know God and have victory over sin. Now, we're going to talk more about this in future articles here and there. The fear of God is that important. Without it, we deceive ourselves. With it, we begin to truly serve the Lord God from the heart. So let me leave you with this thought. How do you gain a biblical, godly fear? How do you get there? Well, you start by asking God to create it within you. You have not because you ask not. James 4:3. Start asking Him daily to put His fear within you. Do that, please. I need to do it as much as you. Please ask Him to create within you a holy fear of Him. Thank you for joining me today. And I pray that till we meet again, God will open your eyes to show you how blessed you are in Him.
You've been listening to Study, Grow, Know with Dr. Fred DeRuvo. Please join us each week for new broadcasts that deal with theology, prophecy, and political issues from a biblical, conservative perspective.